D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick, still in Sweden with the Nashville Predators. But guess what? I caught up with Willie Donick earlier today. And you'll hear that conversation with Willie coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Of course, the Predators as part of the NHL Global Series, playing two games in Stockholm, Sweden against the Pittsburgh Penguins, those games on Friday and Sunday. So I caught up with our good friend Willie Donick earlier today. We will play that conversation for you during the 4 o'clock hour. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us at 5 o'clock. Silly Underdog Picks at 5:20. Be sure to be listening for your chance to win. I'll tell you the prize later in the show. It's a good one. At least I think it is. So we'll get to that. But Derek, what's one thing that television broadcasters, more specifically sports television broadcasters, love more than anything else?
Drama.
Drama's good.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking of something else.
Hmm.
Brands.
Ah, yes.
Sports broadcasters love brands. The Dallas Cowboys.
It's a brand.
The New York Yankees.
It's a brand.
The LA Lakers.
They're a brand.
They're all brands. In college football, Ohio State.
Definitely.
Alabama.
Absolutely.
Georgia.
No doubt.
Notre Dame.
Who?
Nope.
Oh, wait.
No.
Oh.
Vanderbilt is not a brand. I do need to say it in the way that Willie says it when he is making fun of people who talk down to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt. But Vanderbilt is not a brand. And that's true, Mike. Probably not. So this is the reason why we're talking about this. The latest CFP rankings are out. And Vanderbilt moves up two spots from 16 to 14, the two teams directly in front of Vanderbilt last week, Virginia and Louisville, both lost. So they're down to 19th and 20th, respectively. So Vanderbilt up from 16 to 14. By the way, the 12-team bracket projection, the top five teams stayed the same. Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, Texas A&M 3, Alabama 4, Georgia 5.
Mm-hmm.
But some shakeups, for example, the 12th ranked matchup, the group of five representative, no longer David Janes' Memphis Tigers, it's the South Florida Bulls. South Florida at Georgia in the 12-5 matchup. Notre Dame and Oregon in the 8-9 matchup. Miami and Texas Tech in the 6-11 matchup. And Ole Miss and Texas in the 7-10 matchup. So in the fallout of the CFP's latest rankings, I stumbled across a column written by Blake Topmeyer of USA Today. Blake Topmeyer, if I am not mistaken, used to cover the Tennessee Volunteers for the USA Today network. Now he is a national college football columnist. And the headline, Derek Mason,
yes.
CFP likes Notre Dame, doesn't trust Vanderbilt. That's brand bias, not eye test. Blake Topmeyer writes, quote, Notre Dame has a storied brand. Vanderbilt has a doormat's history. That shouldn't matter, but it does, because when you put the resumes of these teams side by side, Vanderbilt's outshines Notre Dame's. The Commodores enjoy the advantage in strength of schedule and strength of record metrics. Notre Dame's two losses, one of which occurred at home, came against teams now ranked in the top 15. Vanderbilt's two losses, both of which occurred on the road, came against teams now ranked in the top 10. Both of Notre Dame's losses were close. One of Vanderbilt's losses was close, albeit after a fourth quarter rally. Vanderbilt is the only team with two losses or fewer and a top 25 strength of schedule that's ranked outside the top 11. So let's answer the question that's posed by Blake Topmeyer. Well, it wasn't a question. It was a statement. But let's discuss the statement. And I'll ask a question. 615-737-1025. Are the Vanderbilt Commodores being held back by brand bias in the college football playoff? Derek Mason, your thoughts.
Absolutely, they are. If you look at Notre Dame in their schedule compared to Vandy in their schedule, there's truly no comparison. the two teams that they played that were ranked teams, they lost to both of them. I don't care if they lost by 2 points, 22 points, they lost, because those same teams that were ranked that Vanderbilt lost to, Texas and Alabama, the score, if you watch the game, see, maybe that's the problem. They're not watching the game. If you watch the game, that Alabama game was much closer than what the score indicated. And in watching that game, many could have came away with Vanderbilt was the better team. So you count those losses against Vanderbilt, top losses, but you don't take the Miami loss and the A&M loss. That's not a minus for Notre Dame. It baffles me, because then after that, you're supposed to whoop up on Purdue. You're supposed to kick Arkansas, you know what. You're supposed to beat up on Boise, North Carolina State, USC. That was a close game. You're supposed to beat up on Boston College. That was a close game if you watched the game. You're supposed to beat up on Navy. Who have you played since those first two games of the season? Who has Notre Dame played? There's no argument or point to be made for Notre Dame outside of brand bias that they should be even ranked this high. They shouldn't be in the college football playoffs bracket right now. They shouldn't. They lost to the two ranked teams they had on their schedule, and they beat up on everybody else. Didn't we count that against Indiana? Wasn't they screaming about Indiana last year? They ain't played nobody this and that and that and this. They were doing that. But now it's okay for Notre Dame to lose to their only two ranked opponents until this week. It's okay for them to lose to those teams as long as they beat up on teams that are inferior to them. But when Vandy lose to a team, to top 10 teams, and they beat top 10 teams, it's counted against them. What else can you surmise from that?
By the way, so Notre Dame in the straight ranking, not the projected bracket, in the straight ranking, Notre Dame is ninth. So these are the teams in between Notre Dame and Vanderbilt.
I don't understand why they are that high.
Notre Dame and these are the teams in between Notre Dame at 9 and Vanderbilt at 14. Texas at 10, Oklahoma at 11, BYU at 12, Utah at 13th.
The problem with this is it's still too early to make these arguments, because it's not like Vandy has two cakewalks left. Notre Dame, okay, Pitt's 22 in the country, okay, but then after that, they pretty much got it. The odds of them winning their games is higher than the odds of Vandy winning their last two games. Let's say that. So Notre Dame fans are probably just sitting back and like, hey, we ain't saying anything. All the while, Vandy fans or SEC fans are like, they really can't say anything, because Vandy still has a tough enough schedule that they may lose one or both of these games.
Notre Dame's final three games of the season. They have one tough one left. They go to Pitt this weekend. That's a tough game. That's a potential trip up for the Fighting Irish. They go to Pittsburgh, then they close out a home game against Syracuse and a road game at Stanford.
Seriously. Seriously. And this is why Notre Dame will never get in the conference. They will never get in the conference.
They love being independent.
Yeah, they love being independent.
It helps them.
It helps them. It helped them. It's going to help them this year if they run the table. It's helped them in prior years where even the eye test told you Notre Dame is not one of the top-ranked teams in the country. They showed that when Alabama just totally annihilated them in the playoffs. I think that was Alabama or Georgia, one of the two SEC teams. But Notre Dame in this situation, especially when it's a team like Vanderbilt, and that's who we're comparing. It's like Vandy, Texas, and Notre Dame, really, because those two teams do affect Vanderbilt. Even if Vanderbilt goes 10-2, what those two teams do affect whether Vandy gets in or not. The committee is telling you that right now.
I'm reminded of what Nick Saban has said in the past on College Game Day. I remember Saban was the only panelist on College Game Day to pick against Vanderbilt when Vanderbilt played LSU. And Saban said, paraphrasing here, like, I just can't get over the fact that Vanderbilt is good. Because when I coached Alabama, Vanderbilt was terrible. Remember what he said famously before Vanderbilt upset Alabama last season. The only easy place to play in the SEC is Vanderbilt. And Nick Saban, even as Vanderbilt had shown this season that the Commodores were a better team than Saban is accustomed to seeing, he still was incredibly skeptical. Mm-hmm. And it feels like the College Football Playoff Committee feels the exact same way. They remain skeptical because it's, to borrow Willie's term, Vanderbilt and not Notre Dame. So it really is an interesting case study in, as Blake Topmeyer wrote on USAtoday.com, brand bias. One texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, big Bama fan here. I think back to when Bama played South Carolina and barely won, but yet Vanderbilt beat the crap out of South Carolina. One texter says, Vandy would beat Texas and Notre Dame at a neutral site. Well, I just watched Texas handle Vanderbilt, albeit in Austin. But that game was tough. Now, credit to the Commodores for putting it together in the fourth quarter and giving themselves a chance to win. But it was still a lopsided game for most of it. Matthew in Nashville says, it's not brand bias. It's quality of wins and who, if the playoffs started today, draws the most eyeballs. Well,
that's brand bias.
Isn't that brand bias?
Exactly.
Notre Dame draws more eyeballs than Vanderbilt. So I don't really understand what you're saying there. One texter says, Brett says, needless to say, and obviously and unfortunately, the ultimate decision maker here is money when it comes to razor-thin competitive rankings. And look, let's look once again at the 12-team college football playoff bracket projection based on the rankings that came out last night. Think of all of the brands. Mm-hmm. Ohio State. Indiana's not a brand, but they're playing well. Would you consider Texas A&M a brand? Probably not, right? To borrow the Mike Rabel term. Alabama, definitely a brand.
Yes.
Georgia, definitely a brand.
Yes.
Texas Tech, meh. Old Miss, meh. Oregon, I think Oregon, they're around.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Maybe they are on the cusp of being, okay, they are a brand.
Yeah.
Just
they're
based
not,
on Nike.
Oregon is not a brand in the same bracket,
as
no
Alabama,
pun intended, as
or,
Alabama
yes.
or Ohio State. Okay. But I think Oregon is still a brand in college football.
You're right. You're
Notre Dame
right,
is absolutely a brand in college football. Texas is absolutely
Oklahoma.
A brand in college football. Miami is definitely a brand in college football. South Florida, whatever. But look, Vanderbilt still has to take care of business. The Commodores are off this week. They play Kentucky at home. Then they go to Tennessee, and that is a gigantic game. I'm really, really hoping that Vanderbilt defeats Kentucky. So that game, like, we'll have to ask Willie this. Mm-hmm. When he comes back, and you know Coach Willie's not going to want to answer this question, but I have to imagine that if Vanderbilt beats Kentucky and goes to Tennessee with a chance at the CFP, that will be the biggest game in program history.
I'm sure it would be, because no other game would have had the stakes that game potentially has. Either you win and you're in the college football playoffs, well, I hope you're in, you should be in, or you lose and you go home and you wish, that you had another opportunity, but you don't. These last two games, because of what the committee has shown, these last two games, even if they win them, will not guarantee that they get in the college football playoffs. We've seen, listen, it happened to Florida State a couple years ago. Granted, I know their quarterback was injured, but they ran the table. They lost one game. Did they lose one game? Or, yeah, I think they lost one game. Or did they go 12-0?
I think they went
12. Well, either way, they were one of the top teams in the country. Their quarterback goes down, and all of a sudden now they were left out. Now, the field wasn't as large as it is now, but they were left out.
Florida State went 13-0.
Yeah, 13-0 and end up getting left. That's, the committee tells you, they fly by the seat of their pants. They do. They fly by the seat of their pants. I mean, have you ever seen the Hamilton? He say you fly by the seat of your pants. That don't work sometimes. But then again, they don't care. 1 year is this. 1 year is that. 1 year is this. No, we're not doing it this way. We're doing it this way this year. Nobody can make up their damn minds how they want to officiate all of this stuff. It's by, whoo, how do I feel today? I ain't got a fever today. Oh, so I want it this way. Just fly by the seat of your pants. That's what they all do. And I love D'Antonio. And I'm not saying D'Antonio probably the one guy in there with some sense. You know, him and MTSU's AD. Those two guys probably got the most sense. The rest of them, no.
Shout out Chris Massaro.
Yes, shout
Director
out Chris
of Athletics Massaro. At MTSU.
The other ones, no. So 2-10, that don't work. Or 2-8, whatever it is. But it really does almost seem as if each year there's a different set of rules.
Yeah.
And standards to who's going to make it. The eye test 1 year, strength of schedule this year, close games next year, blowouts next year. Point, they're going to be averaging points that, you know, 2 years from now. It's just going to change, and nobody understands or nobody can put a finger on what does the committee really look at. It may be brands.
Jeremy in Clarksville says, Texas A&M suffers from the same thing. If Alabama or Georgia had A&M's record, they would be number one or number two.
Yeah, you're right.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the latest CFP rankings. Vanderbilt moves up from 16th to 14th. But are the Commodores being held back by brand bias, specifically Notre Dame? 615-737-1025. And if you think Derek Mason is fired up now, wait till you hear my dramatic reading of the Q&A with the CFP chairperson, Mac Rhodes, about why Vanderbilt is where Vanderbilt is. Can't wait to hear what Derek has to say about that. 615-737-1025. Tonight on Totally Hits 93.3, catch MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on Evansville at 7 o'clock. Coverage is also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. D-Mays, Ving and Adonic, 102.5 The Game. I heard it was Tevin Campbell's birthday on Celebrity Birthdays.
What? So we had Tevin to play. Campbell?
Yeah, so we had to play some Powerline from a Goofy movie. Man, Tevin Campbell voiced Powerline.
I got some stories, some Tevin Campbell stories, boy. Man.
Do you know Tevin Campbell?
No, just college.
Oh.
Like stuff in college. Like,
are these appropriate stories?
Yeah, they're very appropriate.
Okay.
They? So
you weren't setting the mood with some Tevin Campbell?
Yeah, I mean,
we're not going to talk about that.
Talk about that. No. But my roommates, I had two of them during the summer when we stayed on. We would stay on campus and work out and take classes. So it was three guys that stayed in this three-bedroom apartment. So two, I'm still one of them. I consider my brother, Sean, and then Amp. He's a really good friend. So all three of us lived in this apartment. No, actually, it was Brian Echols. Us three. Amp was the next year, and my bedroom was like on the ground floor, so my window, like there was this window, you can see straight to the ground. So anytime they would come home, like from class or just being out, and they heard Tevin Campbell playing, they knew that I had relationship problems. They knew my girlfriend and I at the time had broke up or we had been arguing. So anytime they heard Tevin Campbell come on, they were like, I ain't going to mess with D.
Well, Eye to Eye is more upbeat than what you were probably listening to
exactly.
From Tevin Campbell's catalog. But let's get back to the conversation we were having before the break. Is Vanderbilt a victim of brand bias? in the CFP rankings. The Commodores ranked 14th in the rankings, up from 16th a week ago. But Blake Topmeyer over at USA Today wrote a column with the headline, CFP likes Notre Dame, doesn't trust Vanderbilt. That's brand bias, not eye test. And before we get to my dramatic reading of the explanation for why Vanderbilt is where it is, let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hunted.com, and welcome in Eric. Eric, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Here's my thoughts on Vanderbilt, why I think they could be in trouble. One of the things, and I don't know if you saw this morning on Get Up on ESPN, because they were talking to Paul Feinbaum and his reasoning, and the things they talked to several people. They talk about the college football playoff. He, at the end, basically mentioned Vanderbilt. He thinks even if Vanderbilt gets it 10-2, he said you can't count them out. But he thinks they would be on the bubble. Because here's a lot of reason, and I'm hearing, guys, where I think Vanderbilt could be in trouble. Number one is, of course, head-to-head against Texas. A lot of people are thinking that if Texas, even if they, say, for instance, lose to Georgia, but then win the last two games, including beat Texas A&M, that Texas could get in over Vandy due to the fact they beat them head-to-head. They've got three losses, but the thing is, one of those losses was against number one Ohio State, and they're looking at that. They're also looking at the fact that Vanderbilt now, those two wins against LSU and Missouri are kind of not as valuable as they once were, since LSU and I think both Missouri, if I'm not mistaken, now is out of the top 25. They're not ranked. That may work against them. Also, the fact that Notre Dame, I think, and I hate that they get the benefit of doubt, they lost two games early, were still ranked in the top 25, and now even if they lose to Pitt, some think they might get in over Vanderbilt. And also the fact that a lot of people are saying about things like ratings and whether or not Vanderbilt would draw a big enough crowd to a playoff game. I mean, I'm not saying that's right and that's fair, but I think, unfortunately, there's some of that out there, guys, and you can give me your thoughts on that, guys, but those are just kind of my thoughts. And I do believe, guys, there is a possibility that a 10-2 team could get left out, and a 9-3, whether it's this year or eventually, will probably get in. Those are just my thoughts, guys. Y'all take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Eric. And let's get to – I'll try to do my best dramatic reading here. So after every reveal, Mac Rhodes, who is the CFP chair, I want to say he's also the AD at Baylor, if I'm not mistaken. He does a conference call to answer questions about the CFP committee's thinking. Question about Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has gotten better strength of record, strength of schedule metrics, I believe, than Notre Dame and Utah, a pair of other two-loss teams. I'm wondering, why is Vanderbilt ranked behind those two teams in particular, a two-loss Notre Dame and Utah? Mac Rhodes. Well, I appreciate the question. And certainly we had conversation about Vanderbilt playing an Auburn team that made a coaching change, having to take that to overtime, a win in overtime at home. A lot of conversation about Diego Pavia, maybe the most important individual to their team as they go. The wins versus South Carolina, LSU, Missouri, really, really good wins. But when we looked at certainly Utah, the convincing win against Arizona State and then against Cincinnati, who's the other team that you wanted me to compare them to? Question, Notre Dame. Mac Rhodes. Yeah, Notre Dame is a team that, seven straight games, they've won seven straight. I think early in the year they lost the two by a total of 4 points. Defensively, I think they struggled a little bit. Feels like certainly the Arkansas game was a turning point for them offensively. The committee really likes Notre Dame as a complete team. Again, defensively, their run game is as good as anybody, if not the best in the country, when you think about their two backs, Levin Price, then Carr at the quarterback spot. He's the third-ranked quarterback in terms of passing efficiency in the country. Those are all the things that we talked about and looked at as a committee and obviously gave them an edge over Vanderbilt.
So what he's saying basically is because of their helmets, their gold helmets. Anytime a question like that, and when somebody starts off, well, you know, that's a good question.
I appreciate the question.
They're looking for a damn answer. They're really trying to formulate that.
It's a political maneuver.
Exactly. Absolutely.
It's a political maneuver.
Absolutely. So the minute he said that, everything else after that, I did not. It was like Charlie Brown.
Wah, wah.
Exactly.
Wah, wah, wah.
You know what it said? Gold helmet. Gold helmet. Gold helmet. Gold helmet. Gold helmet. That's all it read to me is gold helmet.
He could have just gone. Da, 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 da,
exactly.
Da,
he
da,
might as well
da,
have
da,
had
for 30
the
seconds.
Fight song behind him in the background while he was just touting, you know, these other schools and not Van. It's embarrassing. It really is. It's embarrassing. Here's the reason why it's embarrassing, and it's sad. Because you're sitting there in front of a camera, you're lying to everybody that knows better. Even Notre Dame fans know better. They know they ain't played nobody since those first two games, but they're not going to say anything. You don't hear Notre Dame fans screaming and yelling and moaning about where they are in the college football playoffs. You're not, and you won't, because they understand that even if you win, if you'd have won one of those top games at the beginning of the season, okay, there's more of an argument. But you didn't win either one, and then you go, the argument is, well, they were close games in at the beginning of the year. Who gives a crap? They were losses, okay? Again, this is what he should have had Pat playing in the background. Again, you sit there with a straight face, and I'm sure, I don't know if it was podcast or if it was done on camera or if they just did it.
It was a conference call.
Yeah, conference call. But you sat there.
So nobody could look at
yeah,
him.
Yeah, nobody
was just
could look.
Talking
so you,
over the
you
phone.
Sat there and you looked at yourself and lied to yourself. That's what you did. Because you know damn well what you said. Everybody has seen both of these teams' records. And then for you to pull out BYU, and BYU was just like, they're like, man, why am I even, talk more about that other team. Don't talk about it. It's really about Notre Dame. It ain't about us. So he tried, again, a political move. Like, they think people are so damn stupid. He changed the conversation to Utah and did what he said. What other team you're talking about? Oh, Notre Dame. Like that, like, you finish because that was a bold, that was politics at its finest. Politics 101. That's what that was.
Steven on our text line says, the college football playoff is a glorified TV miniseries. Of course ratings factor into the participants. One texter says, I blame the lack of respect for Vanderbilt by the CFP squarely on the shoulders of Barry Trotz. Barry Trotz can't be blamed for everything. Ben says, Vanderbilt is definitely more fragile with less talent, and they lost two games more recently than Notre Dame did. I want to point out again what was written by Blake Topmeyer at USA Today. Quote, Notre Dame's two losses, one of which occurred at home, came against teams now ranked in the top 15. Vanderbilt's two losses, both of which occurred on the road, came against teams now ranked in the top 10. So, yes, Vanderbilt's losses came more recently than Notre Dame's losses. But again, both of the Commodores' losses came on the road against teams now ranked in the top 10 versus Notre Dame's two losses, one of which occurred at home, came against teams now ranked in the top 15.
There's truly no comparing. It's really not. If you're basing it on merit of, you know, strength of schedule, teams they beat, teams they didn't beat, I would say this. I would dare to say that if you gave Vanderbilt Notre Dame schedule, Vanderbilt would damn near run the table. And their record would probably be the same record that Notre Dame has right now. But I guarantee you, if it was on the flip side, that same thing wouldn't be the case for Notre Dame. I'm just watching both teams. Notre Dame has had a cakewalk since the first two games of the season. They have. Let's not, you know, make no mistakes about that. It hasn't been as hard as Vanderbilt's schedule. But yet and still, because their gold helmets and their name, that's valued more than Vanderbilt's wins. They're counting Notre Dame's losses as pluses, and they're counting Vanderbilt's losses as double negatives, and even questioning some of their wins. How stupid can that sound? That sounds so damn stupid. It is. That's because that's what they're doing. I'm at a loss for words right now. I really am. But here's the thing. I can argue this all day, and I know I can. And Vanderbilt fans can argue this all day. But I don't want Vanderbilt fans to think that, okay, even if they finish 9-3, did I think they're a lesser team? No, I think they're still a damn good team. They just ran up. They just got a harder schedule than Notre Dame. So even if Notre Dame goes to the college football playoffs, and say Vandy lose one of the last two games, say to Tennessee, I still believe that Vanderbilt is a better team than Notre Dame from what I've seen. They've had a cakewalk. And everybody understands that, except the CFP committee.
One texter says, absolute horse beep. that Notre Dame is CFP ranking is higher than Vanderbilt's. At the time they beat Virginia Tech, meaning the Commodores, mm-hmm. at their place, they were considered an ACC dark horse. They beat the dog bleep out of a ranked, at the time, South Carolina team. Auburn, we saw what happened. If you actually watch the Alabama game, the score doesn't reflect the actual game. Craig, on our text line, if the Craig's text will load, we'll get back to Craig in a minute. Mm-hmm. There it is. Okay. Craig wants to challenge you, Derek.
Yes.
Craig says, Derek, for a couple of weeks you've been saying you have to look at where the teams are ranked when you play. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame lost to two teams ranked in the top 10 by a total of 4 points. Those are better losses than Vanderbilt has. Notre Dame has also beaten a team currently ranked, and Vanderbilt hasn't. Don't switch your standards because it's a local team. Also, Notre Dame would beat Vandy by two scores on the field.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go. All right. Let's rewind it. What did he say at first? Because I want to get each point.
Okay. How about this? Mm-hmm. How about you mm-hmm. gather your thoughts?
Okay.
We'll revisit this on the other side because there are multiple thoughts here that we should get to. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Vanderbilt's slot and the college football rankings. We're specifically talking about Notre Dame. And if the CFP committee suffers from brand bias and is giving Notre Dame an edge because Notre Dame is Notre Dame and Vanderbilt is, as Willie would say, Vanderbilt. 615-737-1025. We will get Derek's response to this text from Craig on the other side, and I can only imagine how Derek is going to react. So we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. 94.9 The Fan is your home for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Today, the Commodores take on Austin Peay at 6 o'clock. Pre-game starts at 5:45. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Talking college football playoff rankings. And the brand bias that there appears to be for Notre Dame over Vanderbilt. Before the break, Derek, I read to you a text from Craig, and Craig has a couple of points for you, mm-hmm. and during the break, you gathered your thoughts, mm-hmm. and I'm going to allow you to respond to them. But first, I'm going to reread the text from Craig for those who didn't hear it the first time. Craig says, Derek, for a couple of weeks, you've been saying you have to look at where the teams are ranked when you play. Notre Dame lost to two teams ranked in the top 10 by a total of 4 points. Those are better losses than Vanderbilt has. Notre Dame has also beaten a team currently ranked, and Vanderbilt hasn't. I assume in the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah.
Then he finishes by saying, don't switch your standards because it's a local team. Also, Notre Dame would beat Vanderbilt by two scores on the field. So I will allow you now to respond to Craig.
Okay. One, I'm going to start from the bottom and go up. I don't think that Notre Dame would beat Vanderbilt by two scores. If you've watched the same Vanderbilt and the same Notre Dame team that I've watched, on a neutral site, I don't think it'd be a two-score game. I would pick Vandy winning that game if it was me, from what I've seen from both teams during the season. Again, since those two games, they've had a complete cakewalk. You throw out the USC game. USC is ranked 20th, but USC ain't – watch USC, okay? Just watch them. They're not a team that is going to the playoffs. This is not a team that's in contention to go to the playoffs either. Vandy has a win over, I think, what was it, at the time, 15 Missouri, when they played them.
If you're looking at AP rankings, mm-hmm. not CFP rankings, mm-hmm. Vanderbilt has wins against 11th-ranked South Carolina on the road. Mm-hmm. They lost to 10th-ranked Alabama on the road. They defeated 15th-ranked Missouri mm-hmm. and 10th-ranked LSU at home mm-hmm. and lost to 20th-ranked Texas on the road.
Okay, so again, where were those teams when Vandy beat them and when they lost them? I get it, because the same thing can be said about Notre Dame.
Where and all of the teams? Ranked teams that I just listed mm-hmm. – the ones that Vanderbilt defeated,
yes.
South Carolina, Missouri, mm-hmm. and LSU, are not in the top 25 of the CFP rankings.
But I would dare to say that Notre Dame's only played two ranked teams when they played them. Well, I guess USC was at 20. So They've played three, lost two, and won one. So, again, I don't see the argument of saying that Notre Dame deserves it over Vanderbilt. Because if you look at the strength of schedule, I would tend to believe, if you looked at that schedule, that Vandy had a tougher schedule. And they continue to have a tougher schedule. They play in the SEC. Notre Dame is an independent team. We know they're going to play SC. We know they're going to play Stanford. We know they're going to play all these cakewalk teams. They're going to have two to three ranked teams on their schedule every year. And this year, they had two teams started off ranked. USA became ranked, I believe, if I'm correct. Or let's just say all three of those teams are ranked. They lost to 1-1. Vandy has lost two of their ranked opponents.
Alabama and Texas.
And they beat Missouri when they were ranked. LSU when they were ranked. And South Carolina when they were ranked. So, again, and they got number 23 at right now as we sit.
Tennessee.
Notre Dame has 22 Pitt. So, even if both of those teams win those games, I'm still looking at Vanderbilt's schedule and saying they had their tougher schedule. After those first two games of the year, can't nobody tell me that Vanderbilt wouldn't have ran a gauntlet through that schedule as well. They would have. Based on what I've seen of Vandy, they would have ran the tables up until probably Pitt, and then that would have been the game that everybody looked at and said, well, this could be a trap game. This could be the game they lose. But you can't say that about Notre Dame. And this is not because they're the home team. If I thought Vandy had a cakewalk schedule, I would say it. No problem. But they don't. They have one of the toughest schedules in the country. And they are right now, they sit at, 8-2?
Vanderbilt is 8-2.
8-2. Has a chance to go 10-2. And then have to compete with a three-loss team or another two-loss team that basically beat nobody.
One texter says, Craig is a salty-ass UT fan. He's about to find out in a few weeks. Craig has responded. Mm-hmm. And Craig, you can tell us where your allegiances lie. Craig says, if I was Vandy, I'd be more upset about being ranked below Utah.
See, Utah is just, everybody, Utah is, look at this hand, look at this hand, look at this. And this ain't about Utah. This is not about, so stop using that. We ain't going to use that as a talking point. This ain't about Utah, okay?
Sorry to our loyal Utah
exactly.
listeners out there.
Sorry to the Utes.
Exactly. Yes. This is no shade to Utah. It's not, I'm trying to get them out of the fight. Because everybody want to pull Utah in the fight. But this is about really two teams.
Notre Dame and Vanderbilt.
No. I'm saying that I believe Vandy is working against Vandy.
Ah, okay.
Texas and Notre Dame. Texas because Texas beat Vandy. And Notre Dame because of the gold helmet.
Craig is a Notre Dame fan, by the way.
There you go. See?
Not surprised.
Not surprised. He like, leave us out of here. This is my. But again, there's no way.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Craig. We appreciate it. Keep texting. We love it. But there's no way that you can look at both of these schedules and say that at this point now, again, if Vandy loses another game or if they play, subpar but still somehow win it, then okay. And if Notre Dame wins the remainder of their games and Texas win their games, okay, we can have an argument. But if they go down there and handle business in the next two games, there shouldn't be a question of will Vandy make it? Because if this was Alabama, if this was Ohio State, hell, we see now Notre Dame. If this was Georgia, Michigan, nobody would be talking about, will they make it? Right now they would be in, as we speak, at 8-2. They would be the 10th or 11th seed. So
Tommy on our text line.
I'm going to keep fighting for Vandy until they lose a game.
Tommy on our text line says, this is how SEC fans have been feeling for a while. We play a tougher schedule than all other conferences. A three-loss SEC team could beat most other conferences' teams. They're doing Vandy wrong, and I'm a Tennessee fan, just like A&M should be number one. Another texter says, you get no credit for a crappy LSU and a crappy South Carolina team being tough because on the preseason rankings they were tough.
Again. These were teams. I get it. I know how their seasons turned out.
Look, in hindsight,
I get it.
LSU and South Carolina were nowhere near as good as people thought they would be at the beginning of the season. And this is the thing that always confuses me when talking about the CFP committee and all of that stuff. It's like, how much stock should you put into how a team played against another team at the time of the game versus how things end up unfolding?
You know what they should do?
What's
don't
that?
Even rank. Don't rank until like after the third, fourth game of the season. Matter of fact, don't even rank until you get into the college football playoffs. Because, frankly, anything before that don't give a damn. It don't mean anything. It doesn't. Anything before that first initial college football playoffs, anything before that means nothing. That's why it's like even the first college football, renderings of the college football playoffs bracket, people look at it and say, oh, I can change. This really not. So if they're saying that about the first iteration of that, what does anything before that mean? Nothing. Don't rank them. That's just like basketball. You don't need to rank these teams because half of them, they start off at number one and end up 25 or 125. You know, so rankings is for the money, but it don't mean anything else.
I will be fascinated to see what happens if Vanderbilt wins out, because I do think a lot of people believe that if Vanderbilt does, in fact, win out, and one texter pointed out on our text line that he's got a friend who is a Kentucky fan, and Kentucky's been playing better since they made a switch at quarterback. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I've watched a single snap of Kentucky football this season. Do I look like Connor Newt to you?
If I close my eyes, maybe.
No, I don't. Connor's got many more years ahead of him than I do. But look, Vanderbilt escaped Auburn over the weekend.
Yes.
If Vanderbilt would have lost that game, we wouldn't be having this conversation because it wouldn't matter. It would not matter. And Kentucky could be a trap game.
It could be.
For Tennessee. For Vanderbilt, before Vanderbilt takes on Tennessee. JC in Goodlettsville says, as a Vandy fan, I'm concerned if Texas was to upset either Texas A&M or Georgia, they would get in over Vandy at 9-3 because they beat Vanderbilt.
Absolutely. Oh, that is almost a given. If both of those games are close and they end up winning one and losing the other, don't be surprised. I believe it's going to happen. Texas will get in over a 10-2 Vandy, and that would be sort of the injustice.
You need to root against Texas in both of those games.
Yes.
They need to lose both of those games.
Because if they don't, they're still a avenue for them to get into the college football playoffs. Are they a good team? Yes. Can they put up a bunch of points? Yes. Is Arch playing a little bit better than what he did at the beginning of the season? Yes. Is that defense at times? Can they be shut down? Yes. But if you lose three games, you should have to build a larger argument to get in than say a 10-2 Vandy. But I get it that Vandy would have won the head to head. I get that part. But they're setting it up right now where if Texas just win one of those games, you win one of those games, then we'll figure everything else out.
Mm-hmm.
But you win one of those games, and then we kind of go. But Vandy's in this dilemma where, like, even if, say if Vandy lose one more game, I'm still going to support him. But obviously, them getting
in
at 9-3, it's
over.
They're
not getting in at 9-3.
Exactly, they're not. Vandy's not. Some other team, yes, maybe. But Vandy's not. They're holding on by a shoestring right now. And that may, even if they go 10-2. But if they go 10-2, it's like there shouldn't be a person in that room that doesn't go back and watch Vandy play all year. If they end up 10-2 and say they're not deserving, they need to come out and say why. After watching all these teams, if Vandy goes 10-2, why didn't you vote him in?
Look, if Vanderbilt loses, and they end up in the
argument's over.
If they end up in the Gasparilla Bowl, I will still root for Clark Lee.
I'm a root for him.
And Vanderbilt. But it is an interesting situation. And look, all that matters is that Vanderbilt has to take care of business. They've got to beat Kentucky. The way the defense has been playing as of late, the idea of Vanderbilt going to Tennessee with that high-octane offense, it should scare you if you're a Vanderbilt fan. But, of course, they have to take on Kentucky first. That's next weekend because Vanderbilt is off this weekend. One texter said, because we can't get through a segment without someone throwing shade at Andrew Burnett, one texter says, Notre Dame's schedule is so soft, Andrew Burnett could coach them to an 8-2 record.
Leave coach, like, why is he catching strays? Leave him alone. Like, he ain't got nothing to do with this.
That, yeah, well,
he got his own set of problems.
He does. 615-737-1025. Great participation. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the CFP rankings. Vanderbilt, Notre Dame, brand bias, all of that is on the table. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, the Titans are back on the field for practice today after their off week. My question is, what should we be looking for from Cam Ward in the second half of the season? Mike McCoy talked a little bit about that the other day. We'll hear what he had to say, and we'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. DVD is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com.